Simone coming in with that new Metro future. Kendrick, there's a lot of drama in the hip hop.
That's right. It's world. Not a big three. It's
and
just me.
And I've, yes, it is just me. And I've definitely, this was the first beef right after my birthday happening that I could confidently say, I do not care.
Yeah. You're like, I'm too old for this.
I'm officially too old for this.
Yeah.
It was, which is funny because the beef is with people that are older than me.
You're right.
Whether it's Future or Drake, but everybody, I had people texting me, yo, did you see what Kendrick said? I just thought,
this is a bunch of multimillionaires arguing over.
I'm like, dude,
words.
I got to clean some diapers. I'm not really.
And they're also not actually beef.
No, of course they're not.
I had so chummy. It's
my buddies, they're probably listening right now. You told me you cared. Well, what did you want me to say? I'm also the guy when someone says, you ever seen that movie? I will say yes, even if I didn't say the movie.
No.
Yes. If you have something queued up, I'm not going to ruin your day by, it's like one scene in Enter Movie. Do you remember that? I'll just say yes.
Yeah. And the worst is though when people are like that. Oh, what's he saying?
I mean,
what's
I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to have a follow-up question. No, and then Chris, what do you say back to me? You're going to be like,
says,
oh,
what,
I'm
what
not.
What does he say there? Or what was that guy's
name? Line?
And I'll do it too. I'll
and
be
like, oh
my
and then
goodness.
The person says, yeah.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
Your references are out of control. Everyone knows that.
I am completely just, you know, I'm not going to kill the vibe.
Aww.
I'm not gonna kill the vibe.
I love that.
Okay, let's go through the exercise. Remember that? Did you see that one movie? No,
that's me. That's how every conversation with me
and
goes.
And then it ends.
Yeah, that's
and
like
then it ends.
50% of me and Verlon's conversations.
Yeah.
You've seen that movie, right? And I'm like,
there's usually
no,
a
I
little
haven't.
Follow-up of X, Y, Z why you should watch it.
Yeah,
no, definitely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It also depends, right? I have some. There's some movies out there.
What's your most egregious movie you've never seen?
I'm not saying.
I've got mine,
and I'm not ashamed of it at all. I've never seen Forrest Gump.
Kings are in a playoff race.
That's right. You're right.
We'll talk during the summer.
Serious
right.
time,
right.
you guys. That's please.
Right. Let's get to some pocket watching and what is happening tonight with the Suns. And the Suns, really, this is probably their easiest game left, right? Suns at Spurs. And the Suns will probably take care of business. And then you have Mavericks at Utah.
The Utes.
So you're probably going to get two W's there. If anything, I feel, you never know with the Suns, but I feel more confident about the Jazz maybe falling into something than I do the Spurs. The Spurs are kind of, they are who we are. And we know what comes next for them.
We get Wemby versus Bol Bol.
You do get
what
Wemby
are you
versus
talking
Bol Bol.
About? You
and
get
Wemby
the
versus
freak off.
Bol Bol. And yeah, Bol Bol had some things to say.
Did he really?
Yes. He was it's something I cannot say on the airwaves, but he had something to say about, because they just played the Spurs. So they played them back to back. And there was a call against Bol Bol on Wemby.
Okay.
And Wemby had something to say.
Okay.
Yes. To the ref.
Gotcha.
And yeah, not something we can say on the airwaves, but basically. Okay. Basically, you're feeling you guys are helping Wemby in so many words. Go look it up.
Yeah, you look it up yourself.
So now they have one of their not back to backs, but two game series, we'll call it, against the Spurs, both in San Antonio. So the Suns have just been hanging out in the Riverwalk, beautiful this
that's
time
right.
of year.
That's
so
right.
the Suns won 131.
The Alamo.
To 106 on Saturday, and then next Suns at Spurs today. After that, and we've been alluding to it, but that's literally, I cannot stress you enough, that's literally the last easy game for the Suns. After that game, or after this game tonight with the Spurs, the Suns are at Nuggets, at Thunder, at Pelicans, they host the Cavs, they host the Timberwolves, they host the Pelicans.
Their schedule's a joke.
They host the Clippers. At Clippers, they go to Sacramento, and then they go to Minnesota.
I think the Kings are the lowest-seeded team that they play the rest of this year.
That's actually
they don't play
correct.
I think the Kings are the only team. The Cavs are a 3-seed. The Kings are the only not top-5 opponent in their conference that they play this year.
Wow.
Nuggets are, as it stands, the 1-seed. So they go 1-2-5, East 3, West 3, West 5, back-to-back against West 4, play the Kings, who are the 7, and then go right back and end the season against the West 3. Good
they're
luck.
They're not going to lose all of those games.
Luck.
Is it 500? Like, what are you hoping for?
If
you're
I'm
a
Suns fan, or if I'm somebody on the Suns, I'm thinking, hey, we know what's in front of us. We win and we take this momentum into the playoffs.
Phoenix is 21-22 versus teams above 500 this year. They have not done well. They have killed teams below 21-7 against teams below 500. So really, if you're going off of that, I mean, they're almost like the reverse Kings, where they just they take care of business. But
right.
when it comes to the top competition, you know, they have their big three, three and a half, if we want to throw Grayson Allen in there these days. But besides that, they have nothing. And a lot of the best teams in the league just have a multitude of really good players. Like the Pelicans go 8-9 deep. The Nuggets, same thing. I don't know. And a lot of these are on the road. They have 1, 2, 3, 6 of those, 7 of those games are going to be on the road. I don't know, man. I don't know. 7 of their 11 remaining games on the road. I could see Phoenix finishing below 500 the rest of the way. I'm not factoring them into this playoff race.
You've been on that. Yeah, you've been on that for a while. You haven't been worried about the Suns as much as you have the Mavericks, who are right there with the Kings. And everybody is, all three are in action today. All three are in action today. And the Kings, obviously. What do you think people thought, the NBA world, when they looked up and they saw that the Kings lost to the Wizards?
I think that they probably lost, and they probably said exactly what we said. Same old Kings.
Yeah.
Like, it would be insanity to expect them to do something different at this point in the season because, you know, I mean, we joked about it. Literally at the time, we were saying this is probably going to happen, where they just have this great, huge win where your morale is up, emotions are high, momentum's feeling it, and then you just completely throw it all away the very next game. It was probably expected for people who were paying attention. But, you know, I think that it does probably factor into people looking down on the Kings. They probably feel like, you know, I've seen this team lose to some of the worst teams in the NBA. How good could they actually be?
Right. Well, and also, you know, you are what your record says you are, and that's why they're down there.
Yep. That's a great point.
That's literally why they're in the predicament that they're in right now, because throughout the season, they've done that. And
that's
they're
so
all
true.
There for different reasons. Yeah. And the Kings have been probably the most healthy of the three teams. Yep. But you look at the Suns, and like you said, they take care of business, but they cannot beat the elite teams or the teams that are good. The Kings are there because they can beat the teams that they are better than most of the time, or that are considered elite or good more times than not.
Yeah.
But they can't take care of business against the bad teams.
Yep.
And then the Mavericks have just been a bit banged up all season. And the Mavericks feel the most like they should be there. They're just not. They're not consistent enough. They don't have a deep enough roster.
Yes. Yeah, they don't have a deep enough roster. It's really Luka, Kyrie-centric. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, I think they have enough talent to get to the playoffs. But once they actually get into the play-in, they're a scary play-in team. But come playoff time, I don't think Dallas is really going to be able to do much of anything.
Which would be tough if they get that 6th seed. And I guess the people could be saying the same thing about the Kings.
Oh, I guarantee they are. And, I mean, you know, it's fair, again, but, you know, just like you put it, I think that's a great way of putting it. Would you say the Kings have tricked off more than 3 games this year?
Yeah.
Well, that would put them at the number 4 seed. They are only 3 games behind the Clippers. And to your point, I mean, if they just take care of business 3 different times this year, 4 different times this year, we're talking about, oh, they were a 3 seed last year. They're sitting in the 4 seed.
Right.
And, you know, this is probably where they belong. But at the same time, at least they're not fighting for the play-in. So, in a weird way, you are right. Like, you are who your record says you are in 70 games throughout the season. I think we see that the Kings are they very much deserve to be in the spot that they are in right now.
Yes. And based on who they've lost to and who they have beaten, I look at it from the perspective of we can talk about the Western Conference all we want, and maybe it's connected from the war of attrition and just it being a really long season. But the reason the Kings are in this spot isn't really because we talked about the Timberwolves, and the reason the Kings aren't better than the three seed like they were three seed last season is because of the Western Conference.
Yeah.
The reason the Kings aren't a four seed is not because of the Western Conference.
Exactly.
It's because of them. It's literally because of them. I saw something. It said that last year it was about the Lakers.
Yes, I saw that as well.
And it said the Lakers, their record last season would, if they had the record that they have right now last season, they'd be the four seed.
Yep.
They are the nine seed.
Nine seed, yep. Yeah, and that really tells you all to your point. Like that is the Timberwolves and the Thunder being in there, but the Pelicans too being in there. It's just a much deeper conference than it was last year. But at the same time, even though we do say that the Kings have put themselves in this situation, I still think that there still is proof that potential four seed team is still in there. Though I think that's the thing that's been so frustrating all year is it hasn't felt like they've lived up to the potential, even though, a lot of people say, what did you expect? You bring the same team back and, you're going to get the same results. But I think the interesting thing about this season has been we all would say that there's just a bit left out on the floor, that it feels like they never fully reached their full potential this year. You can look at the three-point numbers of Keegan and Kevin Huerter as the prime example of that. But I would say it's still a positive to say, hey, maybe if these guys are starting to lock in and then come playoff time, they are 100% locked in. Maybe this is a team that has four seed potential, but just is a lower seed. And that could be a lot more dangerous of a team than what people are expecting.
916-339-1140. The 209 is saying, you said that, talking about the Suns. You said that about the Suns 2 weeks ago. They are 7-3 in their last 10. I hope you're right. That is from Dave. Yeah. Thank you for that, Dave. As we look at who the Suns have beaten on March 5th,
they beat
the Nuggets in overtime. Yeah. Okay, March 5th. The best team they've beaten besides that has been the Cavs.
Yeah.
They beat the Cavs March 11th. Besides that, they lost to the Thunder. They beat the Raptors. They lost to the Celtics. They lost to the Celtics again. They beat the Hornets. They lost to the Bucks. They beat the 76ers. They beat the Hawks. And then they beat the Spurs. So they just take care of business.
Yeah, they had an
but there are no more. They don't be after tonight. They don't have any more of those gimme games. Good on them for winning those gimme games.
Right.
But tonight's the last one, and then starts their gauntlet. When we return, continue the conversation. And Vivek has some things to say about the A's coming to Sacramento and a Major League Baseball team in Sacramento. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. CBS, local CBS, Jake Gaydon had a conversation with Vivek Ranadive, Kings owner, and had a lot to say, not just about basketball and entrepreneurship. Go check out that. I believe it's on YouTube, or I'm sure it's on CBS as well. Go check all that out. And Vivek had some things to say about John Fisher, the A's, and possibly having their own baseball team. But Sacramento could easily be a baseball city. The weather is great.
Yeah.
It's nice and hot. It's baseball weather.
Yesterday was like, that's perfect.
It was literally
weather,
perfect.
It,
it was a little bit of wind, not too crazy.
Right.
The sun
was out.
The sun was shining.
Clouds were showing but not covering.
Exactly. Exactly. You couldn't have drawn up a better situation. And I had a nice couple nice photos. The backdrop is really nice. And when you look at just minor league baseball and the different cities where these teams are, I would have to say that Sacramento has got to be a top 10, I want to even say top 5 location for a AAA organization. And that is why the conversations are starting about maybe the next level, right? Whether that be the A's as a rental, and I know our own Carmichael Davis had a lot of things to say about that, or also their own team whenever that may happen. So let's hear from Vivek and what he had to say.
It's no secret that I'm friends with John Fisher, and I've been talking to him about having the A's play here for a few years. And I've also been in touch with the baseball commissioner about possibly having a major league team here. And if we can make the A's thing happen, and if we can show that, hey, this is an amazing fan base, we're going to have a huge response if we have baseball here. So in my mind, this should be a mecca for sports. It should be soccer. It should be baseball. It should be women's volleyball. It should be a whole range of sports.
How confident are you that that can happen in the next 10 years, though?
I don't see any reason why that can't happen. Certainly, we have the community. We have the fan base. We've got a track record of doing what we say we're going to do. We said we were going to do this. We were going to build an arena. We were going to sell games out. We were going to make it a successful business. We've done all that. So I think we just have to keep moving forward and just working hard, and I think it'll happen.
I mean, that's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, him saying that he can't see why it can't happen right in the next 10 years, all that. I mean, I don't know if every single one of those sports can come in the next 10 years, but, mm-hmm. I mean, you love to – first off, you just love to hear somebody who is, you know – I won't say Vivek is local, but, you know, is entrenched in this community at this point, mm-hmm. with that kind of money, talking that kind of way. Because, frankly, here in Sacramento for a long time, that was even just a problem, is figuring out, okay, yeah, we would love to have these major teams or have a new arena, but really don't have anybody locally who's got that deep of pockets and also loves the city and loves sports in that manner. So, first off, I want to, you know, hat tip Vivek for at least saying all the right things, and I do think that's a big part of it with these leagues, is just outwardly saying we have the motivation, mm-hmm. to do this. So shout out Vivek for at least going out there. I will say, if I'm part of Vivek's PR team, maybe the first sentence you say shouldn't be, I know everybody knows I'm close friends with John Fisher. That's not going to get you a lot of...
Yeah,
a
not
lot
right
of,
now.
Yeah, it's not going right to do you a lot of favors here and right now. But at the same time, you got to do what you got to do to get the team here. And if you know... if not even maybe metaphorically, but making a deal with the devil, mm-hmm. is how you have to get a team to, yeah. your city. You got to do what you got to do. It's not always pretty how these things get done, but you know, if this is how it has to get done, I after seeing the pictures from yesterday, I think you, Frankie, mm-hmm. Nate was out there. He posted a couple pictures of the entire stadium full. It was 14,000 people. I don't know if I've ever seen, maybe Joe Girose was joking with us, the Savannah Bananas were probably, yeah. the last people that sold out that place. I mean, he's got something there for sure. I don't know locally how people would deal with their relationship with the A's and all those bad feelings, but just from the pure perspective of, is there general interest in the community? I mean, you were there yesterday. You can definitely speak to it a lot better than I can, but I would say, no pun intended, it seems like a home run.
I'm just not sure. Now, yesterday was the River Cats and the Giants,
yeah.
right? I don't know what the turnout would be like. And if it doesn't look great, then your tryout didn't go as well as you had hoped. Maybe it's a situation where it's hard to think that the Yankees come into town wouldn't look the way you would expect, and yeah. to have all those fans, you would think it would look right. I don't think it's going to look like what it looked like last night, every single night. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm thinking Coliseum and how right. much bigger the Coliseum is.
Yeah.
So you shrink that down to the minor league stadium. Maybe it would look really packed because it right. is smaller,
yeah.
but I do know that there will be a lot of A's fans out there that would refuse to go.
Yeah.
And 916-339-1140, if you are a Sacramento A's fan or just a Sacramento baseball fan,
yeah.
would you go to the games?
Yeah.
Because Vivek is obviously thinking that it would look great, mm-hmm. right? And even if it doesn't, at least he can say that they tried,
right?
And all right, it didn't work out. And then you could still blame it on, well, not John Fisher, if you're Vivek, because that's
A's,
your boy,
yeah.
but you could still blame it on, hey, look how many people came for these certain games,
right.
and how many sellouts we had,
yeah.
with the PR nightmare that is the Oakland / Vegas / Sacramento A's.
/ Utah. Don't forget
Salt
Lake City.
/ Utah. If we can do / Fremont, if we
yes.
could do all of these things, right, or if we could make it look like this with all that drama, imagine a pure team that
yeah.
is solely Sacramento and
yeah.
what that could look like.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really exciting. I don't know if they'll ever get the okay. This feels like their best and probably only only realistic option is by getting the A's on a short-term lease and then having it turn into a bigger thing because it was such a big success. And, you know, I don't think ultimately I would be opposed to it. I know that there's a lot of sour feelings. I have tons of A's fans in my life who I would totally understand why they wouldn't show up. But at the end of the day, you know, if it's a Sacramento baseball team and that thing says Sacramento across the front and it's at a major league level, I'm going to support. I just am. Like, you know, this city is on the precipice of really getting over the hump in terms of being talked about as a cow town. You know, you're new here. We talk all the time about the budding nightlife and all that stuff. And there's no better way of entering the conversation of being a bigger market than just adding bigger sports clubs to your city. I think that's the surefire way of being talked about in a more serious light.
Not just a quiet countdown anymore.
No, that's right. That's right. Who's laughing now?
Whenever you see that ad, they hear us now.
I get that ad on YouTube legitimately four times a day.
Yeah, me too.
It's a lot.
I was like, I wish you guys wouldn't be spending your advertising dollars on, on
but
us.
But it still gets me going.
It's a great commercial,
Every single time. It does hit differently when the Kings are losing, though. It's a lot more fun to watch when the Kings are winning.
Recently, I've started to get this ad. It's like a fake Dave Cavill. And he's like sitting in front of the Coliseum, like on the, I think it's like the BART connection from.
And I see it every time now.
Every time. I've gotten it. I've started to get it on our Sacktown Sports. So go ahead and check out Sacktown Sports YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Click on as many videos as possible. And maybe you'll get that Dave Cavill ad. It's a strange one.
How is he not, whoever's putting that on, how are they not getting sued?
That's what I was thinking too. Because the guy is literally like, hey, how's it going? I'm Dave Cavill. Oh, blocked. I just blocked you on social. Like, right. I was like, dang, bro! Like, yeah. it's kind of crazy. So go check out that ad.
When we get back, we will preview the 76ers. Sabonis with a chance to make history, and someone from the Four Letter Network had some things to say comparing a college team to a pro team.
Dum, you heard me right.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Gonna get into the history that Domantas Sabonis can make tonight, and all that means for his career and his legacy, but wanted to tie a bow on the Sacramento baseball situation for now. From our guy Amid Rock, the 916 on the text line, Sacramento baseball fan here. Red Sox, my team. I have mixed feelings about the A's coming to Sac because the ownership drove the team into the ground. I would still go see them play. Honestly, Sutter Health Park is better because it's newer. O.co was not, and the Truffs were so 1980s.
Yeah, those were great. They definitely were.
Let's go to Rick, who's been hanging out during the break, who wants to talk a little bit of baseball. What's up, Rick? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
How you doing?
We're good. What you got?
Right on. So I guess my question is, I hear all the negativity and hate towards John Fisher. Mm-hmm. Where's that hate and negativity towards Joe Lacob? Where's it towards Mark Davis? I mean, they did the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm confused.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Rick. I think a lot of it is just, I mean, perception is everything, right? And Davis, he did get a lot of hate. Mm-hmm. Mark Davis did get a lot of hate. Yeah. I think that the Raiders situation has just been different simply because they were in L.A. It's almost as if Raider fans were used to it.
Sure.
Right? And from what I've gathered, it didn't feel like Oakland was meeting the Raiders halfway as much as maybe Oakland was trying to meet the A's halfway. I think that the relationship between the city of Oakland and Mark Davis, even from Mount Davis being built and not being able to use it, to being in L.A., obviously Al Davis previously to Mark Davis, I think that their relationship was never going to get there. As far as the Warriors are concerned, the Warriors were initially in San Francisco, and then they went to Oakland. Now they go back to San Francisco. And that one,
you also didn't move them very far.
And you didn't move them very far, and that one, it's the Golden State Warriors, so you weren't taking away an Oakland
branded team.
And then you get to the A's, where they literally, and part of this is just the A's getting in their own way. They were trying to poo-poo on what happened with the Raiders and what happened with the Warriors, and now you launch a campaign of Rooted in Oakland.
Rooted, yep.
You launch a campaign of rooted in Oakland and then uproot from Oakland.
Yeah.
So some of that stuff has just gotten in the way when you hear from the Oakland mayor, when you hear from the city of Oakland, when you hear from A's fans, it feels like the A's were, or excuse me, the city of Oakland, they did do everything. Mm-hmm. And John Fisher saying, oh, it just didn't work out. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Where the city of Oakland is saying, well, we did though.
Yeah.
We raised that money. We had a place.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they just didn't want to go through with it. That's why I think the three situations are all different. And John Fisher gets looked at. And just the way he's gone about things, right, is just.
But also, like, those moves, both of those moves made sense, honestly. Like, the Vegas move for the Raiders, like, again, the Raiders are a brand. They're not necessarily stuck to any single location. You can move the Raiders pretty much anywhere, and the Raider fans are still going to travel. Also, Las Vegas is a huge opportunity for the NFL in general. Mm-hmm. I would say that move has worked out, and it's made sense. The Warriors, you know, you listed it out, but also San Francisco. Like, the Warriors were trying to be bigger time. They wanted to be flash and flair, and San Francisco just fit that a lot better. The A's, like you point out, at every single turn, it has been, hey, it might be easier to go to Oakland. It just felt like they were adamant about, let's get out of here. But at the same time, for years, they were trying to make the fan base, to your point with the rooted, they were trying to give the facade of, oh, no, we're the most
of the
community.
You'll always have us.
You'll always have us. You'll never have anything to worry about. We are Oakland. And then it turns out the entire time, they were no better than anybody else. So I guess I hear what the caller's saying there. Like, maybe the other two deserve more flack, but at the same time, nobody's done it as messily, not that that's a word, but as messily as the A's have here.
I do know people that don't really follow the Warriors anymore. They live in Oakland, and they don't really follow the Warriors anymore now that they're in San Francisco.
And that, you know what, that did change the fan base to that point. Like, people talk about all the time, like, the Oakland, the Roracle crowd is not these, you know, highbrow San Francisco fans.
And let's just be very honest, right? I think the reason that Joe Lacob doesn't get the same amount of flack, in part, you go across the bridge, it's also because they've been winning, right? If the Warriors stunk,
that's right,
it might be a little bit different. So once again, Steph Curry, it's the cover of Steph Curry. Yep. And when they did move, they had KD, right? And it was, we're going to keep rolling.
Right.
And as a fan, it's hard to be mad at a team, even if they move. You're in the same state. Okay, you're 10 minutes away, depending on traffic, it'd be much worse than that. And you're putting up banners and you're having parades.
Yep.
That's a lot different than the A's, who before the move, you weren't even trying to put out a good product.
Yep.
That's also been the issue. If the A's were perennial playoff contenders and world champions, you'd still be ticked off for a different reason, but at least you say, all right, this guy, you know, he's making some moves. You're a bottom feeder. You're almost a 4A team a lot of the seasons. And now on top of that, we're going to move, and now we're going to spend this money to be a good team, but we're not going to do it while we're in Oakland.
Yeah, no, that's a great point too. Yeah, the fact that what A's fans in general have just had to go through, and then you're essentially going to say, hey, that light at the end of the rainbow that you were, or the pot of gold that you were hoping for. Yeah. Even if it does happen, it's probably not going to be here. So you might've thought that you had all these good times, and you know, we know how the A's go in cycles of being good and then kind of leaning into prospects. Well, this time the difference might be, we're going to suck for the last 5 years that we're here. And then you're probably not going to get any of the good that always made the wait worth it. Is, it's fine that we're going to suck for a couple of years. We're going to get Matt Chapman and Matt Olson and, you know, that whole crop of guys. That light at the end of the tunnel is not going to be there this time either.
Yeah, those couple of years where they had the one game playoff, I was hoping they could get it done. Yeah. And it was a great scene out there. And it was 2 years in a row the A's lost. And I think some of the three-game series and the one-game playoffs, and they just couldn't get over the hump. Yeah. But they were – we talk about the Kings spending having a payroll of the 23rd in the NBA and at least being in this conversation. The A's and what they were able to do. I mean, the Moneyball thing, it just never ended.
Yeah.
And how did that movie end? Not with the World Series.
Right.
So at some point, you got to open your wallet.
Yeah.
Right? They came. Who was it? They came over. The Red Sox did. They took the Moneyball, the good parts of Moneyball, but then combined it with paying dues, and the Red
Sox.
Until
Mookie Betts.
Yeah, and then they let Mookie Betts walk after they won some World Series,
that's
though.
Right. That's right.
So it's not that what they were doing didn't make sense. There was just always going to be a line of, you got to cash out a little bit.
At some point.
At some point, and then this whole thing is looming, and then you have people, look, have you seen the Coliseum? I mean, people literally will sit and the chairs will break. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's bad. And instead of following through with the city of Oakland, knowing that Oakland knows this is all we have left.
Yep.
Okay, so we will do whatever we need to help in that way. And then at that point, the A's saying, well, actually, now we want to leave too. Maybe the negotiations would have been different with the Raiders. I think the Warriors, there was just no shot they were staying. Yeah. If they knew that they were scared of, or they were in danger of losing everything, the A's, right. It always felt like rooted in Oakland.
They're not going anywhere.
We're the A's. Right. We're the one thing you can depend on. And then they said, you know what? We're going to go chase a bright light somewhere. And with this half-made idea that they're not even completely sure what's next. So, you know, hopefully this thing figures itself out. I do think that there will be more.
Oh yeah,
that comes out.
Definitely.
Probably this week, just so everybody is aware, and you can hear all about it on these airwaves on Sacktown Sports, specifically Styles and Watkins. When we return, so bonus, a chance to make history, and also Shohei Ohtani addressing the media. Chris, you said at 12:45. At 2:45. Okay. So Drive Guys might have to get you, but we will definitely react to all of that tomorrow as well. I am very interested in what he has to say. When we get back, Sabonis, chance to make double-double history. And no, I'm not talking in and out. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. No, Monte Sabonis. No, Monte Sabonis.
You know what this means? Tonight,
what does this mean?
We get an opportunity to see if how strong the brand is.
That's right.
Did we get our Malik Monk, we want the funk, into the building already?
There's no way.
I'm so excited.
It's a pretty simple, you just gotta add it to a soundboard, man. It's a pretty simple thing.
I feel like Dave would have told us this morning.
I don't think they're exactly calling him back to be like, hey, we are doing it.
Sure.
Hey, green light.
Green
we're
light.
Going.
Green light.
Let the boys know.
Malik puts up another goose egg.
Yeah, we might never know.
And I say that as a person who adopted him on Friday afternoon, if you don't remember.
We might never know, but we do know that Domantas Sabonis has a chance to make history, and if he does, it'll just be a really cool thing. This is from NBA on X. With another double-double tonight against Philly, Sabonis can stand alone with the longest streak of double-doubles since the NBA-ABA merger in 1976-1977. No current NBA player was alive the last time a player had a double-double streak longer than Sabonis, who matched Kevin Love's 53-game run from 2010-2011 during the Kings' win over the Magic on Saturday. Is this a pause the game and give the basketball, or?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's a at timeout, we're going to mention it, and it's going to get a thunderous applause.
Really?
Give him the basketball.
You can't pause the game for
it. It's a big deal for us here.
Give him the basketball.
Guys, do I have to pull
out
the Wilt?
It's a home game.
You're going to make me pull out the Wilt number, aren't you? You're going to make me pull out the Wilt number. Okay.
Give him the basketball.
Double.
It's not a quiet cowtown anymore.
Double,
that's right.
That's what they say.
Not a quiet little cowtown anymore.
NBA.
They can hear us now.
They can hear us now. They can give us the ball now.
Let's see here.
Give him the ball, Chris.
You can't do it because Wilt,
if you were in charge, would you give him the ball?
No, and here's why. Because 54 is nice.
Uh-huh.
Wilt Chamberlain has the actual record at 227 games.
Okay.
You're talking about because of the merger.
That's why it says post-NBA-ABA merger. Because Wilt Chamberlain did this. It was just, in the 60s, and he did it like four times as many times as Sabonis
had
done it.
What about modern basketball?
Yeah, that's
though.
What I'm saying.
He's going against a bunch of plumbers.
That's what I'm saying. Come Come on, man.
I mean, I just don't.
Pause the game.
I don't know if it's a pause. Like, pause the game is, like, insane. That's like you're breaking a score, like an all-time scoring record.
It's a big deal.
Let us know. Would you pause the game for the double-double streak?
What, so he grabs the rebound, and then all of a sudden lights turn off, streamers come down, and he's like, what is going on?
916-339-1140. Should they pause the game tonight for Domas' double-double streak?
No, they shouldn't.
Well,
they're going to do it at a timeout. It's
they'll do it
great.
At a timeout.
It's going to be great.
And I just think it's a great look for Domas. I know the haters are still going to have a lot to say. The triple-double thing, and you'll see the Kings lose even when Sabonis gets a triple-double. And then you say, man, they wasted that. And I understand why people say that. Double-doubles, to me, to be honest, feel more connected to a W because it's just very straightforward. Triple-double, I've always said it could bring the feeling of you're doing too much.
Doing too much,
not because not because your stat padding or whatever, just somebody else isn't picking up the slack.
Yeah.
Double-doubles, I feel, are more connected to Ws.
Yeah. No, and it feels more like a symbolic, oh, you did your job. Like, normally it's a point guard. We'll get 10 assists. Well, that's symbolic of, hey, you were really moving the ball around like you're supposed to.
Right.
Rebounds, bigs are supposed to rebound at that level. So, yeah, and I hear exactly what you're saying because sometimes, especially with, like, the Luka triple-doubles, it's like, well, yeah, you got a triple-double. The ball's in your hand the entire game, and maybe it's more symbolic of you're not letting anybody else do anything or feel involved at all.
Yeah.
It's going to be a one-man show. So it's special for sure. I mean, it's not something that we should overlook. It maybe is worthy of pausing the game.
That's
close. It's close to being worthy of it. Like, it is, it's pretty insane to truly every, because that's like the ultimate, when you're talking about Sabonis' consistency all year, when you're talking about, hey, this guy, you don't have to worry about his effort level, that's the number that you should point to every single time, is the fact that in a league where, you know, Malik Monk scored 0 points on Saturday, Domantas Sabonis, every single game,
that's a good point.
You know exactly what he's going to bring you, and that's at the least 10 points and 10 rebounds. That's insane.
Good point.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Every single night he brings it, and there's been games where, you know, the Kings are losing to the Pistons. There's been games where the Kings are, you know, fighting against the Nuggets, and every single time he's having that impact. It's not something that should be overlooked.
I know we are giving Sabonis his flowers, but I just thought about this from Saturday. That corner three was insane.
I've never seen him take one. Yeah, I've never seen him take a corner three all season.
What was the thought process there? And I'm sitting there watching with a bunch of other fans, just thinking, what is happening? I thought it was a glitch in the system.
Yeah, I've never seen him post up in that corner before.
I think Katie said the same too. She said it very kindly.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Now that the Kings have won the game, I appreciate
it. That's the shortest three on the floor.
It is. It is. Know? And when you are a guy who is a walking double-double, it affords you opportunities to say, hey, I got to do some things too. Because the one thing we will take calls on, at least, I'd say at least once a week, is somebody saying, he's got to get that mid-range, he's got to be able to shoot more, he's got to do this, he's got to do that. And the fact that, I do think that his shooting is a bit underrated as far as the mid-range, but Even if it isn't, the fact that he's doing all this with no jump shot in this NBA is crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane because you're right. Like, bigs are supposed to be dead. He's supposed to be a dinosaur, and he's still showing, much like, you know, in a weird way, Tom Thibodeau is showing, hey, my little 90s style of basketball still works. Sabonis is showing that, hey, you don't have to shoot. You can play like a traditional big and still have real impact. You just have to be able to do some other things. And I think his passing ability definitely allows him to stay on the floor a bit more than what a traditional big like himself would do. But, you know, he's just finding his way to be valuable. And it's crazy to me that, you know, I honestly wouldn't believe that you could be, you know, the style of center Sabonis is and still be able to thrive in today's NBA. I would have thought that you just could be a Steven Adams or Jonas Valanciunas and that's it. But Sabonis is showing, man, like, he is a lot closer to Nikola Jokic than he is to those other two guys I just mentioned.
Yeah, and if you go around the NBA and you look at these other centers, and the Kings are going to face the Sixers without Embiid, But is Sabonis the most traditional center? Because it feels like he's not due to how he passes, but offensively he's pretty darn traditional. Yeah. Who's more traditional to you, Embiid or Sabonis? As far as
Sabonis, yeah.
It's Sabonis, right?
Yeah.
It feels like shoulder. It feels like he is the most traditional elite center in the league.
Yeah. No, I mean, because Bam's a lot more current, right? Like, Bam's like a 6'9".
He can't shoot threes,
though. He can't shoot, but he's a little bit more playmaking. In terms of elite, I mean, there's really not that many elite centers. And, you know, the other options would be the guys I just listed, like a Jonas Valanciunas or a Vucevic or something like that. And I think Sabonis is a lot better than those guys. And he's probably even more traditional than both of those two guys. So, yeah, I think what he's doing is absolutely crazy, and I honestly do think that's the biggest reason why we see guys like Kevin O'Connor and a lot of the I'll sound like Draymond here, a lot of the new media people, the younger guys who, you know, are super into advanced analytics and, you know, spacing the floor as much as possible, they look at Sabonis, and again, they see a dinosaur. They're like, this guy is not supposed to win. Short arms, which we don't know where that narrative came from. But yeah, like, I think they just look at him and they say, you're just flat out, point blank period, not supposed to win in today's NBA with a guy like this on the floor. It's supposed to kill you.
Right, because the traditional centers that are left, they're not elite.
Nope.
Right? They're rotation guys, the Andre Drummonds, guys like that.
Totally.
I thought that the last of the dime breed who did get selected number one was DeAndre Ayton. And DeAndre Ayton is, I know he's still young, but he's nowhere near Sabonis in terms of production. So that was, I feel like that was the last guy. Then you have James Wiseman. But James Wiseman was supposed to be able to stretch the floor. And he can't even get on the floor.
Exactly.
So really, Sabonis is a guy who you just haven't seen him. He's a blast from the past. But what he's able to do, it doesn't matter if it's old school or new school, it is productive.
Yep.
And he's getting it done for the Kings. 76ers preview when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.